Welcome to the Hallwell Manor. I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And we're here to discuss Season 6, Episode 2 of Charmed.
Valhalla of the Dolls, Part 2.
Previously on Charmed, why is this a two-parter?
You know what? If I had more time, I almost feel like I want to go in and edit down the Charmed two-parters into one episode, because it could be. Very much could be.
But the thing is, the thing with this episode is that they so clearly got bored or could not afford the Valkyrie stuff anymore, so they're just bikers now.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think that was either of those things. I think that was a decision.
It was a separate fetish thing?
Yes, absolutely. And also kind of wanting to do the Good Omens, Four Horsemen Are Actually Bikers thing.
So, to actually fill you in on what happened last time, previously on Charmed, Leo became an elder and removed Piper's ability to feel emotions so that she wouldn't be bummed about it, but then got blorped to Valkyrie Land by Chris.
Valhalla.
Chris, a white lighter from the future who is mysterious and probably evil.
Yes, he has mysterious motivations.
And he can't heal.
Yep.
So, Chris brainwashed Piper because Piper's sisters eventually, after several months, have figured out that something's up with Piper, and also Leo's missing. So, Chris undoes his kidnapping of Leo by brainwashing Piper into thinking that she's a Valkyrie, and also Phoebe has an empathy power. And also, they kill... Also, they killed Daryl. I mean, Chris...
Let me jump in.
I'm drowning here.
Okay. Leo has been sent to Valhalla, where he is being trained by Valkyries, who take great warriors who are dead and train them for Ragnarok.
Well, they're using him to train other dead souls, because yes, he's an elder and therefore has great knowledge of battle. Okay.
Whatever. In an attempt to get Piper to feel something again, Paige accidentally casts a spell that wipes out her whole memory.
Instead of just her emotions.
Allowing Chris to come in and brainwash her into thinking that she's a Valkyrie. Then he gets Valkyrie charms for all of the sisters, which he has to get by murdering Valkyries.
Who
are neither good nor evil. They are creatures.
Well, no, they're good. They're good. They tell us that they're going to be fighting in the final battle on the side of good. Although they seem to be training their dudes to murder indiscriminately, so.
Yeah. So the girls disguise themselves as Valkyries, go to rescue Leo, which they are able to do. But in doing so,
they're able to do it by murdering Daryl and stealing his soul in order to sneak into Valhalla.
Ah, yes, because they can only go to Valhalla by pretending to be Valkyries who have the soul of a worthy warrior. Once they've escaped, Piper sees Leo, and through Phoebe, who's feeling her emotions even though her memory has been erased,
empath,
expresses how sad she is and about everything and how angry she is at Leo, so she stays behind to be a Valkyrie while everyone else goes back to the manor.
Oh my god. The recaps aren't normally this complicated for Charmed, and yet nothing happened.
Honestly, I feel like it's not that nothing
happened.
Oh, also
Paige got a job as a dog walker.
Okay, that plot is never dealt with either.
Well, it is kind of here.
No, I mean, it starts a new plot thread that then goes nowhere.
Yeah, this is the start of a thing for Paige this season, though, where she's got this temp job that sends her on, like, special missions to help people, which seems like a pitch for a different show, but okay.
Remember in the episode way, way back when Prue was still alive, when for a second it was like they can use the antiques house that she works at to bring in new plots every episode? Like, Phoebe can get a vision off of them, and they did it once, and then they were like, done with that.
Yeah, that was, I mean, she worked there for, like, what, 1.5, 2 seasons? And they used it, Phoebe gets a premonition off of a thing that helps them find a missing girl, which was a plot they got bored of halfway through and then just resolved with and we reunited the girl with her mother line near the end. And I guess the cursed painting?
Yeah.
I mean, they used the auction house is kind of a backdrop a few times, but, like, that was a really good story engine.
Right! They didn't use it for that thing. Also, I would say that a lot happened in the last episode, but that mostly everything was wrapped up by the end. Like, I mean, obviously not, but I feel like the bulk of the plot was front-loaded last week.
So, the girls, Leo, and Daryl's soul blorp back into the alley where they stole Daryl's body. They just left a guy in the back of his police car.
Daryl was mid-arresting someone when they came and took his soul. So this guy...
He was mid-arresting someone from West Side Story.
Yes, he did look like a West Side Story gang member. Anyway, so this dance captain is in the backseat of Daryl's car, locked up, while Daryl is dead on the street. That's kind of a scary premise.
Yes.
But anyway, they bring Daryl back, and they're like, there's your body, just jump back into it, we gotta go deal with Piper. We're not gonna stick around long enough to see if anything happens to you when you try to jump back into your body.
Yeah, like, wait until Daryl is back in his body. Like, he's like, it's not more complicated than that, and they're like, it's fine, just jump back into your body. They orb away and leave him in the middle of this very oddly neon alley.
Eh. I have no problem with the alley.
Daryl just kind of zoops back into his body. He's wearing his sexy detective uniform.
Which is jeans, a black t-shirt, and the badge that's on a necklace.
I mean, he looks good.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a good look.
Doran Gregory is a very handsome man.
That's true.
But, yeah, they're not even... like, he used to wear, like, a suit and stuff, which I feel like is what you're supposed to wear.
No, this is his undercover outfit. No, I'm not kidding. This is like the undercover cop outfit. Presumably the badge was under his shirt when he was chatting with the West Side Story guy before he arrested him.
So three of the warriors the Valkyries were training have followed Daryl through the portal. They very comedically throw him up against the car and then beat the shit out of him. It's weird because it's definitely played for comedy. Like, they throw Daryl against the car and then we get a shot of from the inside of the car, Daryl, like,
his face pressed against the glass, yeah.
And, like, squeaking as it moves down. Like, it's supposed to be funny, but then they just beat the shit out of Daryl, which...
Yeah, he's, like, horrifyingly injured.
What an odd way to... I mean, I guess we need to establish the stakes. I guess, well, it's nice they didn't murder him.
Because, as you mentioned, even though the Valkyries are, I guess, good and presumably training warriors for Ragnarok when they will be doing good... they're just indiscriminately murdering everyone they see, and this is going to be explained away with a line later where Piper's like, oh yeah, the world is so evil here that their wires are getting crossed, so all they can, it's just like being in a sea of evil, everything feels evil to them. And it's like, you think it's going to be better during Ragnarok? Maybe you need to fine-tune these guys' senses.
Seriously, like, I get that we needed a threat for this episode, but... This seems like a weird pull.
Listen, if you have a warrior who can't tell if someone is good or evil, if they're standing next to someone who's evil, you probably don't want to use them in a battle. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, maybe they're wasting their time training these guys, but they're actually just supposed to be, like, bait for the Midgard Serpent.
They just, like, get sacrificed to open the door during Ragnarok?
I mean, they're like, hey, we're gonna let you run around and hopefully this giant snake will chase you while we... Go do whatever. We're going to buy Thor a couple minutes there.
It's a better explanation than anything else we get.
Yeah. So, we cut back to San Francisco at night.
Yeah, we get an incredibly long establishing shot of San Francisco. Our old pal long establishing shots are back, presumably to pad out the runtime because this episode only needed to be one episode.
Yes. This goes on for just so long. Do you think they bought, like, a new stock image, like,
I was package? Noticing that there were images in this montage of San Francisco that I had not seen before. So I'm going to go with, yeah, they got new stock images for season 6. New B-roll.
Yeah. Showing off all that new B-roll.
Especially a lot of it is San Francisco at night, like, all lit up and stuff, so.
Yeah. So they orb back into the manor, and Chris is there waiting in his bathrobe with his curlers in. He's like, how could a rescue mission possibly take this long? Like, seriously, how hard is it to save some guy from Valhalla?
And also, How did you not even bring your sister back with you?
You had one job.
Leo goes into a rage because the last person he saw before he was transported to Valhalla was Chris. So he doesn't even know what we know, which is that Chris is the one who did it. But he does immediately start wailing on me. Just a bit that you thought was really cool.
Okay. Okay. A, I just want to point out, Leo is beating up his son, which is not a good look for anyone.
Because we know, of course, that Chris is Leo and Piper's son.
But Chris tries to orb away, and Leo grabs him mid-orb and throws him into the marriage hutch.
Okay, when he does, by the way, the wedding picture, Leo and Piper's wedding picture, falls to the ground and shatters cinematically between the two of them, and the camera lingers on it.
Okay, what is this? Jason Todd's memorial Robin costume case in the Batcave? Because I feel like this marriage shrine to Leo and Piper only ever exists to get smashed.
Yes, definitely, definitely true.
But immediately my favorite part of this episode is Leo grabbing Chris mid-orb and pulling him out of the orb. Like, that is fantastic. I love it.
Paige tries to defend Chris and say that he definitely wasn't up to no good. He's definitely a good person because he's been sending them after so many demons. And that's not good evidence. Like,
you know who loves killing demons? Other demons.
Yeah, he could just be trying to, like, short, like, this, if he was a demon, which I think you're probably right, that probably was the original idea when they brought him on, that he was Phoebe and Cole's son. I'm totally on that now that that's what the writers were originally thinking. Mm. This could definitely be him getting rid of all of those, like, mid-level lieutenants so that he could take over as the new source. As he was supposed to.
Yeah. So, this whole thing is so silly. Yes, Paige vouches for Chris. Leo's mad because Leo's like, A, you were the last person to see me before I disappeared, which is mega suspicious, and B, you clearly manipulated things so that I became an elder. And Chris is like, I mean, I didn't make the Titans murder a bunch of people. Like, yes, I put you in a position where you can be an elder, but, like, the Titans were gonna kill everyone anyway, dude.
I mean, Leo thinks that Chris manipulated things such that he took over as the Charmed One's White Lighter. And it does appear that he did that, so he's not wrong. Plus, he could have been the one who freed the Titans. We don't know. I mean, we know, but Leo doesn't know.
Yeah, that is a good point. He doesn't know that Leroy from Once Upon a Time was the one who freed the Titans.
Right, because he was immediately killed, so no one knows who did it.
Yeah. So, Paige and Phoebe decide that if they're going to save Piper, it's going to be as witches and as sisters, not as Valkyries. So they destroy Chris's murder amulets.
Yeah, they rip off the Valkyrie pendants. And I'm like, hey, women died for those.
By Chris's hand.
Oof.
But, yeah, they blorp from their sexy Valkyrie outfits to their sexy regular outfits.
Yeah, they're like, oh, thank goodness, now I'm wearing an outfit that covers slightly more of my body. Although, to be fair, they are now wearing cotton outfits that cover a small amount of their body as opposed to leather outfits that cover a small amount of their body. So probably is more comfortable. They're going to go, what else? Check the Book of Shadows.
Mm. Back on Valhalla, Piper's getting brain scanned by one of the Valkyries, because I guess that's just a thing they can do. And she's like, well, I can sense that she's still, like, a little bit of a witch, but she's mostly one of us. And she, like, thinks she's one of us. So, like, there's just a hint of witch, but she's mostly Valkyries.
They do say Valkyrie. That witches have turned into Valkyries before.
Mm.
So apparently that is a thing that can happen, just like she once turned into a harpy.
No one has ever turned into a harpy on this show.
What am I thinking of?
Piper's been a Wendigo. I think you might be thinking of the time Phoebe was a Banshee. And Piper's been a Fury.
It was a Fury. I was thinking of the Fury.
Yeah, Piper's been a Wendigo, and she's been a Fury. And she got replaced by the, like, homunculus thing.
No, I was thinking of the Fury, right? Because, like, a witch who's been wronged turns into a Fury.
Yeah. Or a banshee. Or a siren. Or that thing that sucked the testosterone out of dudes.
Or a mermaid.
Or a mermaid. How on earth was Graham still a human woman?
Her heart was too cold to transform into anything else, is my theory. Which I mean solely as a compliment.
So the main Valkyrie's like, hey, you know, we could use, like, a magic lady with magic powers. And the contrarian Valkyrie, because there always needs to be a contrarian, is like, I think we should kill her.
Well, the main Valkyrie, who is wearing era-inappropriate makeup and is named Freya. I guess it's not era-inappropriate because they do exist in the modern day. They wear leather bikinis, but I guess it's okay that they're wearing 2000s makeup palettes.
They could literally go to Claire's.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. And clearly they did. But Freya says, you know, look, there's two possibilities here. She is a witch who turned into a Valkyrie, which is a thing we all know happens, in which case we are stronger for having her. Or she is a sleeper agent who's been sleeped so hard that we can't even tell, which is what she is. In which case, she's just going to lead us to her sisters, which is also what's going to happen, so that we can kill them. So, win, win, win.
Although, they really seem to kind of lose the thread of that after a little bit.
Yeah, I think that it's weird. It's like there's some implication that they wanted to keep some sort of masquerade going, which is completely unnecessary because they're already on a hidden island that you can barely get to. But at the end, they're going to be okay when the sisters just promise not to tell anyone.
Yeah, because their theory is if the witches found their island, then other people could find the island, so they have to kill them so they don't tell anyone else about the island.
I guess, but it's not like it's easy to get to, even if you know that it exists theoretically.
Yeah, you need the Valkyrie pendants, which... Okay, whatever. So Piper's like, I'm totally working for you, and I can probably lead you to my sisters. I mean, those witches,
You pointed out before that they are having this conversation, like, directly in front of her, and she has no reaction to it at all. Which, I guess, is fair, right? She has no emotions.
Yeah. So, back in, I guess, their Valkyries are in the real world, but back in San Francisco, the three warrior guys are just murdering their way through a garage. There's, like, a lot of that in this episode. They murder people in a lot of garages.
Like, they literally just show up and kill a bunch of mechanics for some reason.
More blood and gore than I'd expect from Charmed.
It was a really violent death. It was much more violent than we usually see on Charmed.
And, like, I feel like every season there's one thing that's unexpectedly gory from Charmed, but it feels really early in the season. Like the one with the stage magician who murdered that lady, where he gets turned into a rat and then he gets eaten by other rats.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one with the Alcatraz ghost where they throw acid on his grave and then his skin melts off.
Yeah.
Like, they do it every so often, but it feels weird to blow it this early in the season and on this.
Well, this isn't, like, an expensive gory shot. It just feels way more visceral than it usually is. That's why it surprised me, I think. It's not like they did a really expensive bleeding, you know, CGI effect or anything.
I guess it's just because this is Charmed and literally everyone who dies just disappears in a puff of CGI. So
yeah.
Having, like, corpses with blood feels shocking in a way that it wouldn't on, like, Buffy.
Right, it's very human.
Yeah.
It's like that shock you get when Faith accidentally stabs a human.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in Charmed, where even when people are killed by demons or whatever, they just disappear in a little puff of fire. Like, everyone just poofs away.
Yeah.
So seeing actual corpses is kind of like, whoa, okay, Charmed.
Back at the manor, Phoebe can't handle anything because she is feeling so many emotions right now. She's still reeling from all of Piper's emotions. And she knows that Paige is trying really hard, but she's so stressed from how hard Paige is trying.
She asks Chris, she's like,
hey. She's like the fucking worst person I have on a group project right now.
Yes. Yes.
Look, Phoebe was already the person who's like, oh, I hate drama. I don't know why I'm always involved in it. She was already that person, and now it's like times infinity, because now she's that person, and she's also the person who's like, you know, I'm just an empath. I just feel much more deeply than other people. I can't help it. Ugh. Ugh.
Chris shares that emotion because Phoebe turns to Chris and she's like, hey, when Prue became an empath, she went nuts. That's not going to happen with me, right? Like, I'm not going to end up in a basement telekinetically murdering everyone. And Chris is like, no, you were meant to have the power. You just need to stop whining about it all the time. That's an option that's open to you. You can just shut up and stop whining. And Leo's like, the elders did confirm that you're supposed to have that power.
Whatever. You, for the 3 seconds you were able to talk to the elders before Chris blasted you away?
Chris.
That's embarrassing, man. That's just embarrassing. The sisters are talking about how they're going to cure Piper. And Leo's like, wait, what's wrong with Piper? And like, you know how you sucked out all her emotions? Turns out that was bad. And he's like, well, I meant to like give it back a little bit.
Yeah, like, I'd phase her back into having her emotions. And Paige is like, I guess that's not as terrible.
Although, clearly, even Leo screwed up what he was meant to do. Because he didn't mean for her to be, like, completely positive, like, creepily, toxically positive the way she is. He just meant for her to be slightly less sad. So, maybe even he screwed it up. My theory, that is not stated, but my theory is that he screwed it up because he meant to take away a little bit of what he assumed was, like, a lover's grief at losing their lover. And instead it was Piper's anger at what a dick Leo was being. So he, like, screwed up the proportions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a core tenet of her being, is Piper's anger. So removing that would really psychologically mess her up.
Right. I think the problem here is that Leo expected her to be grief-stricken, not infuriated, and so he like screwed up the mixture when he did it.
I love how, you know, Leo talks about what he, you know, what he was planning on doing, you know, the, you know, I was just going to temporarily take away her emotions and give them back to her gradually. And Chris is like, great job, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, not to give Chris any credit for anything, he is, you know, a murderer. But he's also fantastic. So
the one dog that Paige has been taking care of that she hasn't been able to return runs up to the attic to remind us all that he's still here. And then the doorbell rings, and it is a bruised and bloody Daryl.
Yeah, who's like, hey, think you might have left a door open or something.
Were you raised in a barn?
So, just want to say, for the record, the Valkyries, Mist, and Freya are blonde and not evil, and they don't die. So, This is a rarity for Charmed.
It is!
So, the Valkyrie who's all pissy at Piper is like, can I have a word with you two alone? And Freya's like, no, we've all decided we like Piper more than you, so, no. And
she really is the Gretchen Wiener of the Valkyries, isn't she?
She is. And she's like, fine. It turns out that 3 of our dudes escaped into the mortal world and they're murdering everyone. What do you want to do about that, Freya? You want to put the new girl on that?
And Piper pipes up with, oh, I'm from the city.
The city. We're in a mystic island in the middle of nowhere, but the city clearly means San Francisco.
So she says that she can help them track down the warriors in San Francisco.
And the mad Valkyrie is like, I thought you had no memories of your past life. And Piper's like, I mean, that's one of those, like, things where you have an internal map of your hometown.
Like, right, like when you have amnesia and you forget, like, details about your personality, but you remember things like
where you left the keys.
Or, like, the subway stops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, back in Day for Night at the Hollowell Manor, Leo is healing up Daryl, which, I mean, I guess Daryl was injured in the fight against evil. Also, come to think of it, Leo's an elder now, so I guess he can just kill whoever he wants and he doesn't need to bullshit up some explanation.
Yeah, I mean, the elders do seem to pretty much do whatever, so, yeah.
Daryl tells them, you know, I got beaten up by 3 warriors from across time and space. And Chris is like, eh, I guess that makes sense. So you guys probably left the portal open. And now we're going to have to deal with this.
Phoebe wants to know why they would kill or try to kill Daryl when he's not evil. And then Leo's like, eh, not everything in this world's black and white. Sometimes it's hard for the warriors to tell the difference. Well, then maybe Freya should be working on that during training. A little less on the wire work, a little more on the who's the good guy and who's the bad guy when, before we go fight them.
So, Phoebe pipes in, let's not forget about Piper. And Leo's like, I'm sure that all of these problems will converge at some point. Daryl, why don't you go to the police station and, you know, keep an ear out, because I'm sure people will report the three warriors murdering their way through San Francisco. And Daryl's like, wow, Leo, I wasn't aware that I take orders from you. I mean, I guess I'll go do it, but, like, it doesn't really feel like part of my job is just doing whatever. It's fine. It's fine. It's just, it's weird that Daryl is taking orders from Leo.
Daryl's like, who died and put you in charge? And Leo's like, too soon, man. Too soon!
Damn. So, Paige is not going to participate in this warrior hunt because she needs to take the dog home. That one dog that didn't get picked up when her dog walking job was over.
I mean, to be fair, Phoebe's helping is going to be to go down to the newspaper and make sure that the alt weekly she works for doesn't publish anything about the warriors.
Why? Okay. So Paige is going to return the dog, which has stopped humping her leg. Yay. And Leo's like, that can't possibly be a priority right now. And Paige is like, a lot has changed since you've been gone. Also, Wyatt's with the elven nanny. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But Paige wants to make sure that everyone knows that right now her arc is that she needs to focus on her. And that means that she needs to have a career outside of being a witch, even though she just quit her job last season to focus on being a witch.
Right after she got the job she finally wanted. Like, as soon as she was promoted to full social worker, she's like, you know what? I'm going to quit to be a witch. And now she's going to quit being a witch so she can walk dogs. She's finished the brain-sucking reversal spell on Piper, but she needs Piper to be physically present before she can reverse it, so she's might as well just return the dog until Piper shows up.
I mean, she can orb. It's fine. She can do whatever she wants while the rest of them are fucking around, because she can orb.
Both of the sisters leave to go to their respective human jobs, which is the lowest priority anything could possibly be, but fine. And Leo grabs Chris by the scruff of his neck and orbs him back to Valhalla. I'm sorry, how secret is your stupid island if anyone can just orb there all willy-nilly?
Okay, so the thing about Valhalla is that you can orb into it, but it immediately sets off an alarm. So when they orb in, a bunch of warriors show up and are like, Leo, we thought you escaped. And he's like, no, I've been here the entire time, even though now I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and last time you saw me, I was wearing a leather outfit.
He says, you were trained better than to believe in lies like that. And the guy's like, okay.
I don't get paid enough for this, whatever.
No further questions. Leo throws Chris into the bamboo cage, picks up a couple of swords, and he's like, so, how did I end up here? And Chris is like, I don't feel like I should be talking to you right now.
Chris wants his lawyer, and then he trips over the skull that they keep showing in the cage. It was a nice payoff. It was like shot payoff.
And Chris says, if you kill me, Piper and if you kill me, the sisters will be pissed. And Leo's like, well, I already lost Piper, and she's the only sister I really care about, so. And I don't think she cares what happens to you, so, you know?
Yeah.
He starts wailing on Chris, like, he tosses Chris a sword, they do a little sword fighty thing. Chris immediately gets his ass handed to him.
Chris says that Leo can't kill him because he's a white lighter, which is good continuity, because he can only be killed by the, like, dark lighter bolt. And Leo points out that he seems pretty nervous for someone who says he can't die, which is another, like, clue to us that he's not a white lighter, except that he is.
Leo's like, I know something's up with you, Chris. And Chris is like, I don't know, maybe, but we can't focus on it right now. Well, you know, stuff is going on. And Leo's like, damn it, he got me that. This is the prepare for this to be a running thing. where Leo is suspicious of Chris, but for some reason never fully calls him on anything.
I guess I have to let it drop since we're dealing with stuff. I'll just take it up later when there's not a bunch of world-ending stuff to deal with.
So the Valkyries blorp into human world, into the middle of the crime scene where, you know, all of the mechanics were murdered by their warriors. And they have the spiel we talked about earlier where Freya's like, we haven't trained them for this. And Piper's like, the evil is so thick in this city that they must be confused and they're just murdering anyone.
So Piper says that she can scry for the warriors, and the Valkyrie that hates her is like a witch. And Freya's like, no, it's good to add witch powers to our portfolio. So yeah.
And then she object teleports the knife into her hand.
Yeah, because Piper needs something of the warriors to focus on.
Okay, I'm sorry. It feels like the Valkyries are kind of witches. It feels like they kind of have witch powers, too.
Yeah.
Like, if I were Paige, I'd be upset about that. What's your special charmed one power? I mean, I guess everyone's telekinetic, so it's not really a big thing. Yeah. But
everybody has a different teleport. It's fine.
A biker swaggers onto the scene of this murder scene, and he's like, hey, sexy ladies, I want to have sex with you sexually. And the Valkyrie, who doesn't like Piper, gestures and brings him to his knees.
She force chokes him.
What a specific power to not use later in the episode.
Here's the thing. Piper says to her, wait, we don't have dominion of men here in this world. So this is clearly like an ethical issue and not a physical issue, because apparently you do. It's just you don't have the right to do it here.
Yeah.
Remember that for later when they decide not to use it on the men that they supposedly do have authority over.
So the guy runs screaming into his bar and gets all of his biker friends, which is a mixed gender group.
Yes, there are 4 women.
Yes.
It's weird that there are so many bikers at this bar at what I assume is like 8 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't seem like good biker bar hours, but anyway.
So we immediately smash cut to Piper and all the Valkyries having beaten up the bikers and stolen their clothes and bikes. It just pans across the Valkyries, who are dressed in a different kind of leather fetishy outfit, straddling some hogs and driving away as the bikers are all tied up in their underwear in the alley.
And the soundtrack plays Ride of the Valkyries, because what else would you play?
Boo! Boo!
Have you ever seen Dan Olsen's video about terrible song choice in Suicide Squad?
Yes.
That's what this is, because they just picked the most obvious song. That's what this is.
So Daryl is standing, I guess he missed the entire fight scene, but he is standing at the edge of the crime scene. So
I think, because he was at the garage crime scene, I think the garage crime scene is close by, which would make sense, because the warriors were on foot. But when they drive past on the motorcycle, he sees Piper and is like, oh, he does the like mouth open 80s movie pan watching her drive away look. And I'm like, I don't feel like from the doorway you were able to on the street see Piper in sunglasses and recognize her confidently.
Yeah. But he calls Phoebe and he lets her know, hey, Piper's in a motorcycle gang now.
Yep.
That's what's happening in this episode. And Phoebe's like, well,
that sure is that a character for her.
Why don't you keep an eye on, oh, my boss. Yeah, you keep an eye on that. I'm going to go resolve my romantic thing with my boss, Jason Dean, who's temporarily back from China.
Okay, so he's back. It's unclear to the characters if they are still together, but he's like, hey, Phoebe, are we together? Can we have dinner tonight? And she's like, I can't answer. And also,
well, he immediately runs up and starts making out with her and then is like, hey, I don't know what our relationship is. Do you want to talk about that?
So unprofessional. He is her boss. This is the middle of the bullpen.
This is the literal epicenter of their workplace.
I do have to point out that if she wasn't trying to stop anybody finding out about the Warriors who is at the newspaper, she would not have shown up to work today. She just shows up to work like at random hours.
So now we're encountering a problem, though, because Phoebe has her empath powers, so now she's experiencing man horniness, and it's way more horny than Phoebe's ever been before.
Oh, a Okay. Because so when she gets near Jason, she can't help herself, and they end up having sex in the office, like, with everyone else right outside, clearly knowing what they are doing. Because they're standing there watching them make out until they close the door. Mm. But I was wondering, I was like, why is Phoebe unable to stop herself just because she's horny? Surely she's been horny before.
We've watched Charmed. We know Phoebe's been horny before.
You can be horny and not have sex with everyone in the vicinity. Just throwing that out there. Apparently not if you're Phoebe.
No, because now she's like super horny because she's her regular level of horny around Jason. Plus, well, wait. She's now feeling the level of attraction that Jason has around her. And that's why it's overwhelming, because he's that much more attracted to her than she is to him.
Okay.
She's so irresistible that when she feels someone else's emotions towards her, she can't not have sex with them.
Okay, wait. Yeah, so what you're saying is Phoebe is super horny right now because the amount of love she feels for herself is the level of horny she is?
Phoebe's that level of horny because Alyssa Milano is a producer now and Jason is into her, so she needs to be the same level of horny that Jason is, which is indescribably horny because of how amazingly beautiful Alyssa Milano is.
I get that they're trying to do something comedic. Like, I don't want to act like I don't get what they're trying to do, but it's just so uncomfortable the way Phoebe cannot control herself while around people who are feeling emotions that presumably she has felt at some point too and learned to regulate. Like,
you're Phoebe, a person.
You're not a toddler anymore. You learned to regulate your emotions when you were like 8.
Is she not a toddler? I mean, listen to the way she talks. Although, shockingly little baby voice in this episode.
That's true.
But, yeah, it's really weird because she keeps on being like, no, Jason, I can't. And it's like, okay, Jason, you are not under any kind of mystical influence. If she keeps saying no, but then she makes out with you, I feel like you should back off and not have sex with her in your office in the middle of the workday. While everyone in the bullpen watches until you close the door.
The heightened comedy in quotation marks bit of this is just, it's too much and it's not good.
It also feels weird consent wise, but I can't really say why exactly, because she's under mystic influence technically, but it's her own mystic influence.
I mean, as I said, she should still be able to make choices.
We've seen Phoebe be cartoonishly horny before in this show.
Yeah, I'm just saying this scene might be a moment where one of our new secret powers shows up. Meanwhile, at another garage, the Warriors are killing a bunch of other people, and Piper and the Valkyries have tracked them down.
Okay, are garages just evil?
Yes, there you go. Brad Kern had an issue with a mechanic the week before he wrote this episode. So he was like, oh, they must get confused when they go to garages and assume that all mechanics are evil.
So the Valkyries drive up to the garage and they're like, you're confused. This isn't the final battle. Come back with us to Valhalla. And the Warriors are like, they're clearly lying. Look at the way they're dressed. We have to fight them. And instead of using the dominion over man thing that they used on the bikers earlier, they just have a physical fight with them.
Which is super bizarre because the Warriors are claiming that they don't believe that these are really the Valkyries. These are just some enemies who are trying to trick them into not going to Ragnarok. So this would be the perfect time to use your powers and prove that you are who you just said you were.
So Paige is...
Meanwhile, back in Paige's stupid plot.
Yes, Paige is trying to return the dog, but she's having trouble and...
The owner has gone out of town.
Which, you know...
Makes no sense.
So she yells to the heaven, she's like, what do you want? Why did the universe give me this job? And then the dog starts talking to her.
Now that she has accepted that the universe has a plan, now that she's entered, like, AA step one of surrendering to a higher power, the dog can talk to her. She's emotionally open to hearing the dog talk. And he tells her that he's a human who was cursed by a witch to be a dog.
I do like that her first thought when she's like, I can understand you. Phoebe got that stupid empathy power. Maybe I can talk to animals now. And he's like, no, shut up. A witch put a curse on me and turned me into a dog, but I'm actually a very handsome man. Please turn me back into a very handsome man.
So she does. She reverses the spell. He turns into a handsome man. And she's like, why did you keep humping my leg? And he's like, I'm sorry, I was a dog. My instincts took over. You're super hot. Which is terrible.
And Paige asks why an evil witch turned him into a dog. And he's like, that's a really complicated story.
That's a tale for another time.
But there are a bunch
of... A time that will never come.
Yeah, there's been the VFX of a bunch of stock dogs stock barking in the background.
The Wilhelm scream of dog barks.
And he's like, look, I don't have time to get into why some witch turned me into a dog. The dogs are barking because there's serious magic afoot.
It's the Twilight Bark!
Okay, should we talk about this now, about who this guy is now?
Nope.
Okay, because I have a theory as to why he was turned into a dog. But it can...
Oh! When Paige says, why did a witch turn you into a dog? He says, there were a million reasons. Yeah.
Okay.
There were a million reasons.
So, back at Phoebe's office, she has finished having sex with her boss in his office in the middle of the workday. And he's like, so, are we still having dinner to talk about a relationship or what? And Paige just bursts into the office, physically drags Phoebe out, and she's like, Daryl called and something, something, Piper, something, something, murder, something, something. And Phoebe's like, thank God you got me out of here. My empathy is too much.
Also, it's the middle of the workday. I mean, I know she has more important things to do, but she doesn't even, like, come up with a reason. She showed up at the office, an office that she otherwise was not planning to be at, fucked her boss, and then left.
Employee of the month. So, back at the garage fight, It's pretty hilarious. One of the warriors has pinned the Valkyrie that doesn't like Piper down. And Piper has a incredibly lethargic swing on a wire. Where she just swings on the wire and kicks the guy before he can stab the Valkyrie. And she's like, thanks. And Piper's like, don't mention it. And they have a little Iceman Maverick moment.
Yeah, yeah. Where they like... They see the Valkyrie in each other.
And, like, Piper starts using the Valkyrie telekinesis so we can tell she's being lost to the Valkyrie. And they are not making Holly Marie Combs do a lot of choreography for this. I mean, all of the fighting is pretty lazy here.
They are using a lot of wire work, though. I feel like somebody thought that they were doing something real cool when they did this.
So, Piper sees her sisters and she's like... Ugh, you. Luckily, this syncs with them defeating all of the warriors in hand-to-hand combat.
So they only have to deal with one thing at a time.
So, Paige casts the reversal spell, and it super does not work. Piper telekinetically flings Paige into some, you know, nearby barrels. And Phoebe's like, nice going, Paige.
And then she tries to use her advice calmness powers. She's just gonna talk Piper down, like Xander did to Willow in the finale of season 6. She's like, hey, I know you're hurting. Believe me, I feel your pain more than you could even know how much your pain is.
And Piper, thank God, interrupts this by kicking her in the junk so hard she goes flying across the room. And Paige is like, yeah, your thing worked too.
Daryl runs into the warehouse to put everyone under arrest, and they're all like, hey, we are all otherworldly warriors, so this is not going to go well for you, but One of the warriors throws a knife at Daryl's head, and Piper freezes it before it can strike him. Even though no one shouts, "Piper, freeze it!"
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's super rare. And for some reason, this is the thing that snaps the warriors out of it. Hey, this woman is using a non-Valkyrie power, so clearly they are the Valkyries?
No, it's when Freya opens the portal. She opens the portal and... Oh, sorry, it's not Freya. It's her first in command, Mist. Mist opens the portal and then, like, sighs exasperatedly and goes, "Now do you believe me?"
You could have done that. Why did you fight them at all? You could have done that at any time.
They all go to leave through the portal, and even though this would be the perfect time to end the episode and have Piper realize who she is because she didn't want Daryl to get hurt, and she used her witch powers, she fucks off through the portal too.
Wah wah.
Yep. The episode's not over yet. We're back at the manor, still trying to figure out how to make Piper feel her emotions.
Yeah. Like, Phoebe walks directly into the camera and says, "If only there was a way we could help Piper." And Paige is like, "Well, the reversal spell didn't work."
I'm telling you, the director thought he was doing something when he blocked this scene. He really did.
And Leo apparently still has to go talk to the elders, even though he's an elder. Like, he's like, "The elders think that your new power is the key to snapping Piper out of this Valkyrie fugue state."
Why else would you have been given such a plot-heavy power?
And Paige is like, "Quick, Phoebe, talk about what you were feeling when you were around Piper. Tell us the emotions you were feeling."
I do like the solution they come up with here, though. They've previously used a spell to make someone feel another person's emotions. And they're like, "Wait, we'll use that. We'll go back. Phoebe will feel what Piper is feeling.
And then we'll cast the spell so that Piper will feel what Phoebe is feeling, which is the emotions that we feel like Piper should be feeling."
Yeah. And then, you know, she'll wake up and be herself again. I appreciate this plan. It makes sense. It fits. It all comes together nicely plot-wise, and it uses a spell that we've already seen them use before. Good continuity. I am all on board with this solution to this very, very dumb problem.
So, Paige is like, "But how can we get close enough to her to cast all these spells without her using her new Valkyrie powers to kick our asses?" And Phoebe's like, "Well, since...
Wait, you know all that praise I just gave?"
Mm-hmm.
"Yeah, okay, this is gonna negate it. Go ahead."
"Since, as Leo is always telling us, our powers come from our emotions, and I channel emotions, I bet I can channel Piper's powers and stop her from using them." Which, this sounds stupid.
Because it is.
But also, Phoebe does this multiple times with her empathy power over the course of the show. Like, she repeatedly does use her power of empathy to channel other people's powers. Why didn't you just make her new power channeling? I mean, I guess it tracks a little bit internally. I mean, honestly, her empathy power, if she's theoretically, I feel like part of the empathy power should be being able to change other people's emotions. So theoretically, I feel like she should be able to stop people from being able to use their powers by negating their emotions, but instead...
Oh, yeah, see? That makes sense, if that was her power. But it's not.
Yeah, instead, she and Piper have a gesture off where Piper's new telekinesis gets used against her by Phoebe feeling her emotions super hard.
Yes. Also, you know what? You're right, because when Paige and Phoebe go back to Valhalla, I'm like, so the door's just open now.
Yeah, just anyone can go there all willy-nilly. So Phoebe successfully out-gestures Piper, and Paige reads the spell that lets Piper's emotions get turned into little emotion balls and then zoop back into Piper.
Yep. The rest of the Valkyries show up right after that happens, so really a second too late to save Piper from their point of view. And Piper's like, no, 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 stand down. My sisters, these are also my sisters, and what they did actually really helped me. I have my memory back now.
We really appreciate what you were doing here, and we know, like, the good in what you do or whatever, so you can trust that we're not going to tell anyone about it. Bye! And the Valkyries just suddenly decide to be cool with a bunch of stuff.
Piper earned their trust or whatever.
So, it's A-okay that Piper's given up being a Valkyrie, and they don't want to murder the Charmed Ones now to keep the island secret and safe.
No, I guess the island's just going to stay secret and safe now.
Yeah. Hey, did you think it was too late in the episode for 7,000 establishing shots of San Francisco? Because it's not. It's not. We're doing that again for some reason.
So we just saw Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
We did.
And one of the jokes that the director says during the, like, talking heads portions is that the show often ran short by, like, several minutes. So any scene that didn't have dialogue, they would just play it in slow motion. That's what the establishing shots are in Charmed. Eh. The show is 2 minutes short. We'll just do 2 minutes of establishing shots throughout the episode.
So Jason Dean is working at his desk, and Phoebe calls him. I guess her empathy power doesn't work over the phone, even though apparently it works over letters, because it's...
Oh, yeah, she felt the things from her... Oh, you know what? That tracks for me, because the people who wrote her letters, like, physically wrote it down, they handled the paper, it was like a tactile experience, she's holding the paper, I'm okay with that. And then it not working over the phone, but... Yeah, she's standing outside the office and telling Jason that she just needs to think about things and figure out how she feels.
Yeah, he's like, so what's our relationship exactly? Because, like, you immediately had sex with me and then ran screaming out of my office. And she's like, I've got other stuff going on. And he's like, the other stuff isn't about me, is it? And she's like, no, it's other stuff.
It's family stuff. It's always family stuff. He's like, well, I'm going to be gone for another 3 months. I just wanted to know if I had the clear to have sex with other people or not. I don't really know where we stand.
And she's like, no, you can't have sex with other people.
That isn't actually part of the conversation, but yeah.
Yeah. They're you know what? Do you care about the Jason Dean Phoebe relationship?
They do. They care.
No, do you?
Oh, I thought you were talking to our listeners. No, I don't care.
I mean, he's fine. He's the Riley. I mean, I guess he's better than Riley.
He's definitely better than Riley.
But, I mean, Phoebe's worse than Buffy, though, so it still kind of balances out.
No, he just needs to finish up whatever's going on here in San Francisco and move to Seattle and fall in love with Lexi and die in a plane crash.
So back at the Hollowell Manor, Chris is cleaning up the shattered remains of his parents' weird love shrine. Has that just been sitting... This is much later. Has that just been sitting out?
Well, it's the evening, right? It's the evening of the morning that it got smashed. It's not that much later.
What has Chris been doing all day? Why is he just...
Pouting! He's been pouting! Wait, no, he was trapped in Valhalla.
I mean, for a little bit. Leo kind of just roughed him up for a little bit. You know, whatever. So, Phoebe comes in and she's like, I don't know if I can be... with Jason until I learn how to control my new power. And Chris is like, oh my god.
Meanwhile, Paige is all dressed up because she's going to go out on a date.
Well, Paige says, I guess until you get your power under control, you have to stay away from horny men. Good luck with that, incredibly attractive woman, Alyssa Milano.
She tells everyone that she's going on a date with Oscar, who everyone knows is the dog. She was dog sitting, and they're all like, that raises questions, but we're not sure we want to know what's going on, so we're just going to let it go.
She does not clarify at any point that Oscar is no longer a dog. I guess we can just assume that they know, but they don't seem to know the fact that she is not actually going on a date with a dog. She does not clarify anything. She leaves and they both seem grossed out. Do they think that she's on an actual date with an actual dog?
I mean, I think it's more likely to assume he's a demon and that she's going on a date with a demon and they're, like, trying not to judge because who hasn't been there?
I don't know. They seem more grossed out than they would be if it was a... Okay. Okay, I guess Chris and Phoebe both think that Paige is going on a date with the dark. I would have assumed she was talking metaphorically, but you know, I've got a date with...
I would assume she was like going out with his owner.
Yeah, but whatever. Enough of that. We have some more weird bullshit relationship drama. Okay. I know what Leo did to Piper was awful.
It was.
But this, what Piper does here also feels really awful. Also, why are they just divorced now? Like...
Well, I mean, they were never actually married. They were only hand-fasted. So, breaking the hand-fast is a lot easier than getting a divorce.
But, like, Leo became an elder, but why is their relationship suddenly over because of this?
Because it's forbidden for elders to be with witches.
It was forbidden for Whitelighters
to be. I know. Plus, the whole reason that they got handfasted in the first place was because that bond, like, supersedes any of the forbidden stuff.
Yeah, so it's this weird thing where Piper's like, are you still an elder? And he's like, yes. And she's like, then get the fuck out of my house and don't come near our kid.
She needs some space to process all of these changes that happened without her input. Even though he can orb, it's not like their relationship is less long distance than Phoebe and whatever Jason Dean are doing.
Yeah, like, she just acts like they broke up, which I don't think they did.
She's like, this might be a good thing. Maybe now I can live a normal life.
Not being married to an angel. And I need to adjust to being a single mother, and I can't do that if you're around the house. Why do you need, if he can be around the house, why do you need to adjust to being a single?
It's a very circular logic there.
I need you to leave so I can get used to you not being around.
Yeah, no, she's just like, hey, look, an excuse to leave Leo. Yay.
Also,
exactly what I've been looking for.
Also, I proclaim that I have full custody over our kid. You know our kid who you couldn't see for several months because you were being held captive on an island? You don't get to see him anymore. Fuck you, Leo. Get out.
Well, I mean, Leo doesn't have a legal identity, so it will be really easy for Piper to get sole custody.
I mean, yes, but it feels very fucked up to me that she's just forbidden him from seeing his own kid.
No, she told him he couldn't be around the house anymore, but he's an elder. He's, like, really always there. He just isn't materialized.
No, I think this is unilaterally a really shitty thing for Piper to do.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Like,
I'm just saying, it's not that he can't see Wyatt. He can still see Wyatt all the time.
Like, I'm thinking about what would have happened if, after our kid had been born, if I was kidnapped for several months and then I came back and you were like, I got used to being a single mom, so you need to leave. Like...
Well, wait, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Before you were kidnapped for several months, did you put a spell on me that made me, like, stop loving you?
Okay, I guess the situation... But, like, this still feels like a really shitty move from Piper.
It's not great. It's not therapist recommended.
So, why was this two episodes? I feel like this was so awkward to talk about because they were just trying so hard to kill time. Like... What were they doing?
Which is a shame because that means that we have a whole extra episode in between the beginning of the season and The Power of Three Blondes, which we don't even get next week. Next week is Forget Me, not... There's an ellipsis in there. That's clearly how it's meant to be pronounced.
Barf. And oh my god, it's the Cleaners. Double barf.
Yeah, the Peacock description is, the Cleaners take Wyatt and erase all memory of him. Phoebe starts a barroom brawl. But then after that is The Power of Three Blondes.
Okay. Starring noted child murderer Jenny McCarthy.
Bleak, but yes.
But, okay. That was a lot. That was a lot to get through. But you know what? We're officially in the bad seasons. Chris
Buckle
is here.
Up.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I am ready to talk about The Power of Three Blondes. I'm ready to talk about Magic School. I'm ready to talk about Lady Godiva.
Chris is like Virgil, guiding us through the terrible seasons.
Yeah. Much like the Charmed ones, we have our own power of three. The first power in our pack is premonition. Who in this episode is, was, or will become famous?
Okay, so as promised, let's talk about the dog that got turned into a human. Who
quite possibly the wuzziest was there ever was.
Played by Evan Marriott, otherwise known as Joe Millionaire from the TV show Joe Millionaire, a reality dating show where women believed that they were on a Bachelor-style show where they were going to marry a millionaire, but in fact, it was just some guy, Evan Marriott. And we got to see if they really loved him for him or if they wanted him for his money.
Yeah, and I think they had to split, they got to split $1 million at the end or something.
So, okay, like, so what happened, I watched every episode of Joe Millionaire. And the sequel series, Joe Millionaire Fairy Tale Romance, which was basically just Joe Millionaire in England and pretending everything was a fairy tale. Yes, at the end of the episode, he tells her, at the end of the final episode, he tells his pick that he is not actually rich, he's actually just a poor farm boy, but does she want to marry him anyway? And she says, yes, she wants to marry him anyway. And their love is so pure that the producers give them $1 million to split.
And then they do.
And then they do. And then they never see each other again. And presumably she's a witch who turns him into a dog because she has a million reasons. Also, there's just this amazing sequence in Joe Millionaire where in the penultimate episode, because the whole time he's been talking about how, like, he's a good guy and he hates lying to the women and it's just so hard for him. But that this is important because he needs to find a woman who loves him for him. But then he, like, has a breakdown in the penultimate episode where he's talking to the producers and he's like, I just realized the whole premise of the show is, do they love me for my money or me? But I've been lying about who I am the entire time, so how does this even work? And the producers had to, like, talk him down so that he would finish the show.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that got a second season.
It really, really is.
And then what I think was its spiritual successor?
Oh, I Want to Marry Harry?
Yeah, Who Wants to Marry Harry?
It's actually called I Want to Marry Harry.
Oh, okay. I saw this thing about it where apparently, like, all of the B-roll from the show is like, we all know that's not Harry, right? Like,
you saw some YouTubers talking about I Want to Marry Harry? I watched every episode of that show, too!
Wow.
Yeah, I did. When it was airing.
I mean, I guess Harry would be the choice for someone who plausibly would go on a reality show to marry someone.
Knowing what we know now.
I mean, knowing what we knew then.
Yeah, there was even, like, behind the scenes when women talked about, like, what they did, there was even, like, not shown on camera, but, like, there were arguments that were held for the women to overhear where the producers were, like, fighting with somebody from the royal family who was, like, ashamed that this was happening and stuff like that. They, like, it's a fascinating look on how you can convince people to believe something unbelievable.
Yeah. That did not get a second season.
No, it did not.
But no one died, which is not something you can say for all reality shows.
Ooh, let's move on to our next power.
Yes, time freeze. What specifically dated this episode?
Evan Marriott?
The premonition is what specifically dated this. This is the, like, 4-month period where you would know who that person was.
Yes.
Also, he had iconic shoulder length hair, but he cut it before being in this.
Honestly, I don't remember his face, even though we literally just saw it, but I do, it's his name that I remembered, so.
I always just think of the fireman from the episode of Friends where Phoebe dates a fireman and a teacher.
Oh, he does kind of have that look. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
But, yeah. So that is the time freeze. Joe Millionaire is the time freeze for this episode. That will take us to the third power in our pack. Telekinesis. What, if anything, genuinely moved you?
I mean, I feel like we're supposed to be moved by the final scene between Piper and Leo. That would normally be the kind of slam dunk scene that moved me. But as you said, I'm so annoyed by what's happening in the scene that I can't, that even Holly Marie Combs' acting fails to move me. Oh, it's like the emotions are canceling out her powers, just like in the episode. It's so meta.
Ugh. I have one of our secret powers, though.
I do too, but I think they might be the same. Go ahead.
Okay, over time, our powers have grown. The secret power I am invoking here is levitation. What made you rise into the air and go, fuck yeah? It was every time Leo wailed on Chris, but specifically him grabbing him mid-orb and throwing him into the wall. That was fantastic. I could watch it a million times. He just plucks him out of the air and throws him into that hutch. It's amazing.
Okay, that was amazing. Definitely a good choice for levitation. My secret power is empathy.
Ooh.
Yes, which, as was suggested by Cassidy on our Facebook page, is going to be what moment in the show made you feel genuinely bad for the actors being forced to do it.
Ooh.
Yes, and for me, it's got to be Phoebe having to pretend that she's so horny that she can't help herself from having sex with Jason Dean.
Oh.
I just wanted to, I mean, I'm kind of mixing my metaphors here, but I just wanted to orb Alyssa Milano out of that poor, poor scene.
All right, so that'll about do it.
That'll do it for us. Our show is partially listener supported. If you want to be one of those supporters, you can head over to our website, www.welcometotelevision.net, and click on our Patreon link. We'd like to thank our current $5 and above patrons, Beryl, Patricia, Rosa, Ryan, Maricruz, Benjamin, Kate, Jen, Dan, Anthony, and Daniel.
If you'd like to support the show in other ways, you could always rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
If you want to talk about this episode or any episode or any episode of any television show, you can email us at ilovetelevisionzines@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at ilovetvzines on Twitter, or you can find us on Blue Sky at Welcome to Television at Blue Sky.
So until next time, I'm Max.
And I'm Tina.
And this has been Welcome to the Hollowell Manor.